104.5 The Zone.
The Orange and White Zone.
Mid-Orange Sunday with former UT coach Doug Matthews. Presented by Franklin American Mortgage Company.
The Zone.
Good morning and welcome into Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Going to take an overall look at spring practice today. We'll be discussing what went on in yesterday's spring game somewhat, but primarily taking a look at the full 15 practices and see where this team is right now as they head into a off-season program, getting ready for some summer work, and then, of course, the fall season will be here before we know it. Doug Matthews here for Franklin American Mortgage Company, still one of the fastest-growing mortgage companies in the country. If you're looking to buy a new home or refinance an existing home, well, give them a call, 615-778-1000, or better yet, go on the web, look them up at franklinamerican.com. That's franklinamerican.com or 615-778-1000 for Franklin American Mortgage Company. Let me just get a couple of kind of program notes, so to speak, out of the way here. Next week, of course, is Easter Sunday. We will not be on live then, but I will have a recorded show that I'll do in midweek, so it'll be a new show there if you want to listen to that. Of course, it'll be up on the podcast soon after that also. Today, because of the spring practice, and I want to get a full show in on that, Bill Justice is going to be off today. We'll finish the week after Easter, 2 weeks from now, take a final look at where Bill thinks the Big Orange basketball program is, kind of give away some of the awards that we do every year at the end of the year for this year's team, and take a look at next year's team. Of course, most of you know, I'm sure, Jernal has decided to go pro, and good luck to him. We'll be talking about that later on. All right, let's take a look at spring practice. As I mentioned, spring practice ended with yesterday's Orange and White game. Had the opportunity to see 3, 4, 5 practices, watch tape, and talk with coaches throughout spring practice, and going to give some of those insights today. Some of the changes that are being made, both offensively and defensively, and why they are being made. Remember, this is the second year now Coach Jones and his entire staff have had a complete year. This is the second spring practice that they've had with these young men. We had 14 early enrollees come in, had some other young men who, of course, have left the program. We're going to discuss those today. Let's start, though, with the head football coach. I'm one of those that believe that the football team, any coach team, takes their cue, takes the lead from their head football coach. And I think that is more really on point for this football team. Butch Jones is a guy that, to me, is one of those people that are always constantly pushing, particularly this team. Now, why is he doing that? Well, number one, I think that's the way he works anyway. I don't think it has a whole lot to do with whether he is working on whether he's coaching a veteran team or a young team. He's someone that pushes anyway, but particularly with this team. Here's what Coach Butch Jones knows. This will be his second year coming up at the University of Tennessee. This is going to be a year where, much like last year, he's going to have to play with a lot of younger players. This is going to be a team that will be much more athletic, and I think in the end will be a much better football team. That doesn't mean they're going to win more games. Doesn't mean they're going to win less games. What it means is they're going to be better. This is a step forward. Tougher schedule. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But there are some pluses in the schedule, too, that we'll be talking about a little bit later. Today, kind of going to give an overview of what we'll be talking about in some of the future weeks, taking a look in particularly at spring practice. Constantly pushing. That's the one good thing I get about this guy. He is a big look, in quotation marks, guy. He wants to look good. He wants the program to look good. He wants the coaches to look good. He dresses well. He insists that his coaches dress well. And that's not a minor thing, by the way. He wants the facilities to look good. He puts a lot of time and thought and energy in on those things. As a matter of fact, I tend to believe, after talking to some people close to him, that's kind of his relaxation. He doesn't play golf, doesn't fish. I don't know if he has a hobby. If he does, he hadn't talked about it much. He's around the office a lot, spends a lot of time in there. Of course, a lot of recruiting, a lot of coaching, but also working on the facilities and the way things look. And by the way, if you haven't been in the new football facility, the new Anderson Training Center, get on up there and see it at some point. Pretty easy to get through. They're very accommodating in that fact. It is a beautiful facility that is starting to get the graphics kind of talking about the program. It's one thing just to build brick and mortar, but they're starting to get the graphics up there kind of telling the story of the history of Tennessee football. The Peyton Manning room is about completed. They don't have all of the different material in there and the items in there that Peyton's has donated and other folks, going to be beautiful. But anyway, if you haven't had an opportunity to walk through that new facility, again, they're very accommodating in that fact. You need to do that because it is a beautiful facility. As I mentioned, he's a big look guy. Now, here's the thing that he certainly knows, and this is when you got someone that's a go guy. The thing that is always tough to do for a go guy is balance patience with reality. This is a team, a young team, that's going to have some patience, and you have to realize what the reality is, and yet you can't sit around and wait for them to get better. You got to push them to get better. He is on every single day. You listen to the things he says and what he talks about. That's what he's doing every single day. 2014 is going to be tough, no doubt about that. But and I want to put the butt on this. It also can be rewarding. Now, the thing that for Tennessee fans is, at least putting myself in that category, this is a team that for the last 2 years is building for 2015. All right? 2015, if you look at the talent we have right now, what we'll be losing, which quite frankly is not much, a full recruiting class coming in, this is a team in 2015 should have a good bit of the experience and the talent to compete for championships in this level. We're not there yet right now. But that doesn't mean, don't want anybody to take the wrong idea on this, that doesn't mean that it can't be a rewarding year. Doesn't mean we can't beat people. Doesn't mean we can't win a lot of football games. What it means is that this head football coach and this staff and this fan base are going to have to be patient with this team. So patience, and that's always tough, realizing what the reality is right now, and then also looking to where we can get, and hopefully we can get there pretty darn quick. Now, a couple of things that just coming out of spring practice, some things that off the field and some of them on the field, but just kind of talk about. One of the nice things I see happening up there right now, it's good to see that it looks like we're going to have a good group of seniors that are kind of coming to the front right now, and that's not ever bad. We're not going to have many that's going to be stars, I don't believe. You never know when a senior will come out. Michael Pilardi's a good example. I certainly didn't expect Michael Pilardi to be the best kicker in the conference last year. I think he was. I think he was one of the best overall kickers in the country. Don't know who I'd put ahead of him. I mentioned to you several times before, on the very best teams Tennessee's had, there's always been a senior or two, and in some instances more than two, that stepped to the forefront, and because either through maturity or whatever, have an outstanding senior year. It would be nice to have that from some of these seniors coming up this year. It's going to be a small class, but just kind of looking, I think Lane, without question, is going to be a good, solid player, maybe better than that at the running back position. That's a deep position. We'll get into who's going to be playing there, but certainly Marlon Lane has put himself in a leadership role there. You need seniors to be leaders. The last thing you want on a team, any team, but particularly a football team, is have a bunch of seniors who aren't playing very much. They may be the greatest guys in the world. They may be quality young men. But if they're not playing, your chemistry's kind of off a little bit. So you would love to have, believe me, Coach Jones would love to have as many of these 15 or however many seniors it is or so playing and contributing in some way. Lane's going to do that at running back. He may be an outstanding running back next year. But we know we're going to get some play out of him. Justin Worley at quarterback. We're going to talk about the quarterback situation just a little bit later. But suffice it to say, I think Justin Worley has solidified that he can be one of the offensive leaders on this team. Is he going to be the starter? Well, we'll talk about that a little bit later. A.J. Johnson at linebacker, no question there. Returning starter, a returning all-conference player, someone that Coach Jones, along with defensive staff, when A.J. Tommy Thigpen told me the other day, this guy is playing at a level right now as good as anybody he's seen play at a level. Not saying he is the best middle linebacker they've ever seen, but he's playing at that type of level. And don't forget Thigpen, pretty darn good linebacker himself at Carolina, played in the pros for a while. Justin Coleman at the defensive back, being able to move him into nickel, I think not only has helped him, And he'll be a better leader because of that, because he'll be a better player in there. But it also will help the overall defense and the overall team. Jordan Williams, defensive line. Looks like he's going to move into defensive tackle. I'll talk a little bit later about the changes that the defensive staff, Coach Jancic, and the defensive staff are making in the style of play that we will be playing with next fall on the defensive front. It's going to be a good bit different last year. I'll explain that just a little bit later. Devin Young, a running back or a specialty player. He's not going to be a starter. He is going to be someone that they'll get into the game some. He'll probably be returned, but the big thing is he'll be able to contribute. Jacob Gilliam, an offensive tackle, looks like right now he's a fifth-year walk-on. Looks like right now he would be if they played tomorrow, if they played a true game yesterday, he would have been the starter at left tackle. We'll see on that. The Dar youngster, the punter, looks like he's going to be better than serviceable. Kicked the ball well yesterday. What a great shot in the arm, having someone who could punt the ball at least 40 yards down the field with a little hang time would help, and he looks like maybe he's going to be able to get there. Very highly recruited out of high school. Quite frankly, hasn't lived up to at least what the coaches' billing thought it would be. Be nice to be able to get some play out of him. Two key things on kicking, really. I had the good fortune to work with a couple of the very, very best. The very best was George Cafego. Got to work with him 5 years, and I don't know if he was the second best, but right there with him was Coach Majors. Learn this from him. Catch the ball and get it out of your hands. Kick it in under 2 seconds. They won't block it. If it only goes 20 yards, we get 20 yards. But kick it, get it off, and try to get it as high as you can so we can cover it. Well, that's not as hard as it sounds like. Looks like Dar's getting there. Hopefully there's going to be some other players. Maybe Brendan Downs. Maybe Marcus Pear, who's been around at offensive lineman. Hadn't heard his name much. Maybe he can come back and get a little play in it. The Tony youngster. Riyadh Jones, maybe he can be an addition there. Big thing is, though, if you can find somewhere for these seniors to contribute, whether it's holding on a punt or a snap, a place kick, whether it is playing on special teams, it only helps your team. Looks to me like we're starting to get some of that. It's going to be a small class. It's not going to be a really talented group class, but it's going to be a class, hopefully, that can lead this football team. And again, I'm sure there have been some really good football teams that does not have senior leadership. I'm sure there have been some. There haven't been many. You need some senior leadership, and hopefully it looks like we're going to start getting some of that. All right, let's talk about the quarterback position right now. First off, it's the best depth position on the team. There's not another position as a whole that has better depth than this quarterback position has. Four players that could play. Now, I don't know exactly, well, I don't know even where the coaches, if you said, okay, rank them for me right now. I have an idea, but that's something that Coach Jones and Coach Bajakian both have really kind of gone out of their way to say, hey, we don't know who the starter is going to be right now. I believe them. Now, obviously, when you start a game, you have to put one of them out there. I would think right now that it would probably be Worley, but that's just kind of an educated guess. Don't know that. Josh Dobbs clearly put himself, if what Coach Jones said going into this game, the importance of a spring game, and he really talked a lot about how important yesterday's spring game was, playing in front of a big crowd. I'll get into a few of some other little side notes about the spring game. But if he meant that, and I believe he meant it, then that means Josh Dobbs has put himself back in the middle of the picture. You can't tell a team that something is important, extremely important, and then take the outcome of that extremely important event and not make that extremely important. So I think Dobbs is back in there. From everybody I've talked to, from the times that I have been up to spring practice, and when I say everybody I'm talking to, I'm talking about coaches, I think in some order, going into yesterday's ball game, it was probably Worley, probably Ferguson, then probably Dobbs and probably Peterman. But the thing of it is, and Coach Bajakian has told me this a couple of different times, if whoever the fourth of that group is had to go in a ball game, he thinks they could get him out of the game and win with him. So point is, it's a deep, deep position. Now the question is, do we have that special player there? We know from looking at this league that you almost have to have a special player at quarterback. Look at South Carolina the last couple of years, Georgia, certainly Auburn, you know, Alabama to a certain extent, special player, but they do it a little bit differently. Look what LSU did with Mettenberger last year. So do we have that special player? Well, I don't know that we do, but I certainly don't know that we don't. And we're going to find that out as we go into next fall. A couple of other things about spring practice. This was about as major injury-free, if that's the right terminology, as any spring I can remember. I don't know that we lost a player going in after spring practice started to a major injury. That's highly unusual. Listen, they hit a lot up there this year. A lot of one-on-one, a lot of team hitting, a lot of individual hitting, a lot of group hitting, a lot. The quarterbacks, I was glad to see, one of the things I was really glad to see Coach Jones do was put those quarterbacks where they get hit. You know, and I understand the reason not to have a quarterback getting hit some, but you know what? You get hit in ball games. And I'm sure once fall gets there next year, he's probably not going to put them in that much, but that many, many times where they're going to get hit. But you need to get hit in spring practice, I think. I wasn't a head football coach, wasn't an offensive coordinator. Might want to change that thought. But I was glad to see that. And you know what? They responded pretty darn well to that. So that's kind of an overview. Thoughts on spring practice. We're going to come back and talk about individual things on that. One other thing from yesterday, we're going to get into some of the individual, but of everything I saw yesterday, or listened to yesterday, and watched the ball game, nice to see Josh Smith, the wide receiver, have a good ball game. Wide receiver is going to be, we'll talk again about that in coming up in the show, wide receiver is going to be an extremely improved position from last year. Josh Smith last year as a freshman, you know, kind of maybe hit a little wall, didn't play as well as he would like at the end of the year. It looks like he's really coming back from that. So things are looking pretty good there right now. But again, those seniors, the head coach's viewpoint of it, we're going to take a look at those things. We're going to break down exactly what happened during spring, look at these 15 practices, see where we are right now coming out of spring, going into the off-season part of the program. As Coach Jones has mentioned, 18 new, almost an entire new group signing class is going to be coming in June to get ready for the 2014 season. And there are certainly at least two areas where they are going to be counted on to play and are going to have to play pretty darn early. We'll talk about that when we come back, so stay right here with us. We'll be right back on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Always online at franklinamerican.com. Twenty-two past the hour, it's Big Orange Sunday. Of course, we're always brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Online at franklinamerican.com. Of course, the sponsors of the Franklin American Mortgage Music City Bowl. All right, let's take a look at defensively here now. This was one of the moves, things that I was most interested to see on how this defensive staff was going to change, what changes they were going to make on the defensive side of the football. Had all last year, of course, to kind of evaluate the talent. Quite honestly, because of the personnel up front, remember what we have, I think, six seniors up there, was kind of limited really on what Coach Jancic and I think this staff would like to do. They've got that change now, and they made some moves, though, starting about, maybe five, six practices ago, about midway, a little past midway through spring practice that I think are really gave a good idea, a good preview of what they're looking to do defensively. Let's talk about some of those things. You probably read about this, and I'm going to discuss with you a little bit today why they're doing it and what they hope to gain from it. First off, let's talk a little bit about last year. Last season, bigger, not as athletic lineman, very physical, a typical 4-3 team if you just want to line up and play with four linemen, all right? Not a lot of athletic ability up there, not a lot of movement. And Coach Jancic, I would say about 30% of what he would like to do defensively in the schemes that he would like to run, they were able to do last year because of personnel, some other factors in there. Secondary, not as athletic, had to play more zone than he would like, but not nearly able to get even half of the package in. Well, that has changed now with those young men leaving. Let's talk about some of the things that have happened, some changes, some moves that have been made, and how what that's kind of indicate on the style of ball they're going to play. First off, Jordan Williams started most of the last half of last year at defensive end. He has been moved into defensive tackle. A couple of reasons for that. First off, they certainly need some depth in there, but more importantly, he is a athletic defensive tackle. He is a very average athletically defensive end as far as running goes. All right. The best way I can explain it to you is this. If it's going to be a very similar type scheme to what John Chavis was running when he was at the University of Tennessee. What did Tennessee do back then? They took defensive backs, safeties like Al Wilson, and moved them to linebacker, Eric Westmoreland. Guys like that moved them to linebacker. Smaller, but could run very athletic. They took linebackers and moved them to the defensive end position, Leonard Little, guys like that, and they took defensive ends and got them as big as they could get them and moved them into defensive tackle so they could move around. That's what we're going to be seeing now. That's not going to be the exact same scheme, but that type of thinking, that type of scheme is what they would like to run. All right. A couple of moves they made. Moving Kurt Majette to defensive end. Now, he's not going to be a defensive end that's going to have his hand on the ground all the time. He'll be moving around. As I've said before, he's going to play a lot like Leonard Little did. Leonard Little played a few years ago, but that's the best example I can give you. He'll be able to drop and pass defense some. He'll be able to blitz and off the corner some, and he'll be able to put his hand on the ground on pass rush situations. They also moved Jacob Johnson there, which wasn't surprising, but interesting to me from this standpoint. Tommy Thigpen has said all along he thought Jacob Johnson would be an outstanding middle linebacker. Well, I think he still feels that. I know he does. But for the betterment of the team, they moved Jacob Johnson to defensive end. He'll probably back up Majette. Vereen's going to be that other defensive end. Very athletic in those areas. And the development, quite frankly, that's allowed him to Coach Jancic to move both Majette and Jacob, quite frankly, there's two things that have played into that. First off, Tennessee's going to be a five defensive back team. Only two linebackers are going to play most of the time. I would say 60 to 70% of the time. We know A.J. Johnson's going to be one of those. So to get your most athletic players on the field, it made a lot of sense to move Majette up there. Also to move Jacob Johnson. We're going to talk about some of the young men coming in that's going to be able to help in that area. The two players that are coming in, there are three players actually with Weathered at defensive end. Weathered will be that defensive end type player also. He'll be where the lineup probably at the same position Majette does, if not on the opposite side. But what's enabled him to do that's two things. Number one, the development of Reeves Maben. All right? He has developed into an excellent outside linebacker. Not the biggest guy in the world, but again, I'm going back to some of the best teams we had up there when we had guys like Eric Westmoreland, who were about 220-ish pounds, 215. Reeves Maben can run. We saw what he could do in the special teams last year, in the kicking game last year. That, plus also they really believe that Dylan Bates coming in and also Bryant coming in, the two linebackers coming in, are going to give them excellent backup help at the two linebacker positions. I would expect that Dylan Bates will probably start out at the outside linebacker, and I think he and Reeves Maben will probably fight that out. Unless I miss my guess, and if he stays healthy, Dylan Bates, I think, will play a lot of football next year. Bryant, they'll put in there at backing up A.J. Johnson. Now, and we'll discuss this as we go through more shows. Here's the thing, though, paper thin. I don't know how in the world, if A.J. Johnson's not in this lineup, we're going to have a tough time stopping people. Now, maybe one of these young guys will come along. All right, what they're trying to do is trying to get quicker. They're trying to get faster. They're going to be able to play more defensive schemes and move their defense around a lot more. Going to be able to use a zone blitz scheme where last year with the size of the tackles and the ends, they couldn't run any of the zone blitz. What is that? That's where you bring linebackers, maybe a cornerback, and you drop a defensive end or you drop a defensive tackle. Now, they did some of that last year, but it was a fish out of water. The worst thing you can do as a defensive play caller is put defensive players in position where they're not comfortable, where they can't play it. We had to do that some last year. That's going to be a lot better this year. And I know Coach Jancic in particular is really excited about the athletic ability of this team. Smaller, but quicker. Again, able to zone blitz more. We were unable to do that last year. We really could only play a four-man front last year because of that speed and athletic ability. And what the other factor that plays into this is being able, we're going to be able to play more man coverage. All right. Sutton at cornerback. I'd be very shocked if Mosley, the freshman, doesn't start at the other cornerback. Coleman moving into nickel helps that position. Who the safeties are going to be, I don't know. Randolph's going to be one of them. I'll be very, very surprised if one of these freshmen coming in isn't the other starting cornerback, or excuse me, strong safety, and we'll discuss that when we come back. A lot of freshmen involved in here. Very young, very athletic, though. Salisbury needs to get back and get healthy inside. Owen Williams at the tackle position. Salisbury and Owen Williams have looked good. O'Brien has looked good. We know they're going to move Williams in there, Jordan Williams in there. Mixon has had a good last 3 or 4 days of spring, and there's some help coming in those areas. So let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of those areas, take a look offensively also. Again, kind of giving an overview of spring practice. Kind of talking about the next few weeks, we'll kind of break these down a little bit more, but kind of an overview of what's happened during and after these 15 practices are over, where this team sits right now. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back on Big Orange Sunday, brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. It's Big Orange Sunday. Brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Of course, they are always online at franklinamerican.com. You can also call them at 615-778-1000. We're taking a look at the overall spring practice picture. What's happened since spring practice started, 5 weeks ago? Had a little break in there in between. Orange and white game yesterday. Large, large crowd. Not surprising. This fan base is excited right now and should be. If you can't be upbeat and have some hope right now, then I don't know, maybe you need to go get your heartbeat checked out just a little bit on that. Again, we're looking at spring practice, kind of some overall views of some things. Again, I wanted to remind you that we will be doing a show next week on Easter. Will not be a live show, be recorded. I'll record it during the week. And then the week after that, Bill Justice will be back on. I wanted to give Big Orange Basketball really a full show for Bill to talk about where the team is and where they were heading, so didn't feel it'd be good to do that today simply because there's so much to talk about in the spring game, and we would kind of be short-sighting both of those on that. All right, talking about spring practice, let me get a couple of other big notes out there that I'm sure you all know but want to make sure that we did discuss it. First off, you probably saw where the Utah State game is going to be moved to Sunday night. I think a 7 o'clock game, I believe, 7:30, something like that. Be on the new SEC Network, which is coming along right now. So that game moved to Sunday night. Continuing talks about a yearly neutral site game. I think it would be pretty safe to say right now, not 100%, that this might be, probably will be, the last year that Tennessee will have 8 home games for a while. I think we're looking at a neutral site game. We have, 2-3 already scheduled for 15, one right here in Nashville, and then 16, of course, up in Bristol. And I think that's the route that not only Dave Hart's looking at, but Bush Jones likes to do too. Pluses and minuses on that. One of the things I think you're going to see us go into areas where we recruit. North Carolina is going to be a huge recruiting area for us again. I think the Tidewater area and Virginia are going to be big recruiting areas for us again. We know Middle Tennessee and the state of Tennessee, but Middle Tennessee in particular is going to be a huge recruiting area. Probably 5 or 6 players next year. I think Tennessee will end up getting 5 or 6 players out of Middle Tennessee next year. And it looks like for the couple of years after that, there's going to be at least 4, 5, 6 players there too. Tennessee's already offered, I think, 3 or 4 for 2016, guys that are going to be juniors next year already, and I understand that they're getting good results, good in return on that. I wouldn't be surprised if a couple of those young men don't commit here before too long. A lot of players, by the way, up in Knoxville this past week this past Saturday for the ball game. Lots of folks in there on that. All right, so that's kind of. See, there was one other thing. I think I'll probably get to it here in a minute. Oh, interesting for you folks to keep up with recruiting. I have been told that it appears now that Tennessee will be able to offer, when it's all said and done, a full 25 scholarships for the 2015 class. All right, next year's signing class. All right. Before, that looked like it was going to be somewhere closer to 20. I think they feel pretty confident now with players graduating, leaving, whatever, that that's going to be 25 new scholarships. Now, here's what that's going to mean. These are kind of interesting statistics to me. Hopefully they are to you. We're going to have 28 freshmen. If everybody comes in and everybody stays in this past class, we're going to have 28 freshmen that will be true freshmen coming in the fall. That's counting, of course, what, the 11 this past spring, but freshmen. Add to that six that are redshirted last year. That's 34 freshmen going to be on this team. All right? With 25 signees, I think Tennessee will probably sign three, maybe four junior college players next year, maybe a transfer. But I'm going to say they're going to be somewhere around 21, 22 freshmen next year. If you look at that, they're going to have somewhere around 56 freshmen and sophomores on next year's football team. All right? That's a huge, huge number. Now, looking at it, and we'll discuss this in future shows, but I want to keep people thinking about this. At this point in 2015, all right, I think we're going to be have the depth and the talent to be back in the SEC championship level. Not going to have quite the experience, but we're going to have the depth for the first time in a long, long time. Let's take a couple look at let me just hit two problem areas right now. If you look at what Tennessee has right now and put out there this spring and the players that are coming, I think there are only going to be two positions that's not going to get a pretty good influx of players coming in. All right? One's the offensive line. Pretty much what was out there this spring in the offensive line is what we're going to have next fall. Now, yes, there's going to be a couple of young men come in who will probably start on defense, and one or two of them might end up on offense. But it's so very, very hard for a true freshman to come in and play without spring practice. Thomas is going to do that. Coleman Thomas is going to start at right tackle for us. Looks like we're going to have a true freshman starting at right tackle, and if they played today, we would have a fifth-year walk-on starting at left tackle. And there's not a lot of help coming there next fall. That's an area of some concern. Now, the good part about that is, I guess good in one way, there are no seniors, scholarship seniors, in the offensive line. So that means everybody's going to be back. Two areas kind of show you where this is where recruiting can really get your fanny in trouble in the lines of scrimmage. We don't have a single offensive lineman that's a senior. I guess Marcus Pear is, but I don't think he's playing. And we only have one sophomore offensive lineman. So everybody's either going to be a junior, some of them been redshirted, or they're going to be a freshman, some of them been redshirted. To get to a point where you have a class that doesn't have at least two, you'd like to have three or four linemen in every class in the offensive line, really puts you behind the eight ball, and that's where we are right now. So offensive line is a problem right now, and it's an area that's not. It's going to be. I think it's going to be the weakest part of our team. Doesn't mean we can't do some things to make it where you can win. Not saying that at all, but it's not going to be a strength of our team. There's not any help coming next fall. The other part, same thing is true, is at the cornerback position. We're pretty much what we have at cornerback right now. The only young man that's coming in, I don't think there's any question right now that Willie Martinez, Coach Jancic, Coach Jones are going to start Evan Berry at cornerback. Now, can he play that position? Yep. Would he probably be a better safety? Yep. But the fact of the matter is, we don't have any depth there. We really got right now two quality, what I would call quality, cover corners in the defensive secondary. All right? Cover corners. We got some guys that can play zone, but two cover corners, and that's Sutton and the Mosley kid. Payne was up there this spring and kind of showed some signs at the end. I wouldn't put him there yet. So because of that, I think you're going to see Evan Berry, when he comes in, move to that cornerback position. I think they might move Rashawn Golden out there also. Both those guys, they recruited to be inside nickel safety type people. But that's the only two positions. Everybody else is going to get a major, major influx of players coming in, of those 18 coming in next fall. All right, let's take a look at the position breakdown. Quarterback, as I mentioned, four good players. Looks like that Ferguson is kind of the comer. If you watched all of spring practice, he has all of the talent, but he hadn't played. He redshirted. He's got 4 years. I'll be very surprised at some point this young man's not a really outstanding player at Tennessee. Don't know if it's going to be next year or not, but it could be. All he needs is experience. Worley, very solid, and he gives the Vols, I think, their best chance to win early. Don't know if he'll start or not. I would say he probably will. He's also, right now, I think, the leader of this offense. That will play part of it, too, play into part of it also. As I mentioned, Dobbs had an excellent spring game. I think put himself right back in the mix. Peterman, right now, is a guy that could get you out of a game and I think maybe even win some games. As I mentioned earlier, won't rehash that. The deepest position on the team, much, much improved from last year. Wide receiver. The thing that this team will have is big playability. If we've heard about it all spring, and there is no question, if you look at North, if you look at Worley, I think Josh Smith is starting to come along. Kroom is starting to come along. The Pearson youngster out of junior college. All of these guys, or three of them at least, have the ability and talent to take a, as Coach Jones likes to say, a 5-yard pass and turn it in to a 30, 40, 50-yard run. Why is that so important? In this offense, the style of play that he wants to play, there's going to be a lot of throwing those short little stop routes, little slant routes, and hopefully getting some big plays out of there. And I think we're going to see some of that because of our physical size out there. Malone had an outstanding spring. He is going to get bigger and physical. I think he will push North. I think North will push him. And when you got a guy like Pearson in there in the slot that has all types of athletic ability, well, that's going to be a big, big play. Big, huge, huge upgrade from last season. And I think the depth is potentially there. Kroom drops too many passes, quite frankly, but he's big and he's strong and he can block. Josh Smith dropped too many. You can get better at those things. It looks to me like they have. Tight end position. I don't think there's any doubt that two true freshmen will probably be 1 and 2. I don't know if it's going to be Wolf and Helm or if it's going to be Helm and Wolf, but that's what we see right now on there. Very athletic, Helm is in particular. He can move out and be able to play a slot position or a flex position. Wolf a little bit bigger, a little bit stronger. And even though freshman, I think that position is going to be a good bit improved from last year. Wasn't very good for us last year. Running back, Lane, I think will probably start. It doesn't really make a whole lot of difference. I coached that position up there for over 8 years. You're going to play two. If you got a senior that has worked his butt off, that holds on to the football, that gives you leadership, you're going to start him. I don't care who the other one is. When we had Webb up there and Cobb, and you know, Reggie started because he was older. Was he better than Chuck? Well, maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. They're both pretty darn good. We're going to have that ability now. Hurd's going to be a star. I don't think he's ended out about that. I'm anxious to see how Scott's coming in. You got Scott and Polk coming in. I still believe they will redshirt Polk. Again, they're going to have to redshirt 8 to 10 players in this class. Polk had that serious knee injury. Maybe could play. I'd be very shocked if he wasn't. Scott, I think, is probably going to play for us. All right, a little late to a break. Let's take it, and we'll come back and end up the show here. This is Big Orange Sunday, and it is brought to you by Franklin American Mortgage Company. Forty-eight past the hour. It is Big Orange Sunday. We're here every Sunday. 8 o'clock Central, 9 o'clock Eastern. Of course, you can hear us up in Knoxville on the Tennessee Sports Radio 1180 right here in Nashville on 104.5 The Zone. And we're brought to you each week by Franklin American Mortgage Company, always online at franklinamerican.com. If you're looking for a new mortgage, if you're looking to refinance, if you just want to talk about interest rates in the mortgage industry, find out a little bit more about it, call them 615-778-1000. If they don't have the answer for you right then, and I bet they do, they always have for me at least, they'll get back with you pretty darn quickly. Let's talk about offensively again. One of the I think we're going to see two different schemes, both offensively and defensively, somewhat than we saw last fall. Every team, every side of the ball has pluses and minuses. I was able to, fortunate enough to coach on a couple of SEC championship teams when I was in Knoxville. Even your best teams have areas that you're very concerned about, all right? Maybe not quite as concerned as in some other years. Well, that's true this year. But let me tell you offensively what Tennessee's going to be able to do this year. First off, they got so much more of their system in place. And with this skill players, here's the problem that Tennessee is going to present for defenses. And this is they're going to have some problems with the offensive line. I'll get into that. But here's the big thing. Being able to put three wide receivers out there. Let's just say you got North on the left side, split out wide. You got Malone on the right side, split outside. And let's put Pearson in the slot. Three guys that can catch the football, and when they catch it, are strong and physical and have enough speed that they can take it all the way to the house. All right? Add to that an athletic tight end like Helm or Wolf, either one of these guys who can be an H-back where you can put him in motion. You also can split him out. All right? You put a defense in position that, quite frankly, teams have been putting us in. You know, are you going to play one of those big wide receivers man-on-man out there with not any help? That can run by you, so you got to give him a little room. He catches a pass. You're going to have to come up and get him on the ground. We've seen our own defense struggle with that. That's the problem that a offense like this will present. The reason I'm not greatly concerned about the offensive line is this. First off, I think they'll be very well coached. They're going to be a little bit more athletic. We're not going to be able to line up and knock people off the football, but you know what? We didn't knock people off football last year. And I don't think this offense is, you know, you would like, not that they wouldn't like to do that, but this is more of an offense where it's pretty simple for a quarterback. You line up, you spread them out, you count them, and if they got more people in the box, in that tackle box, than they do outside, you throw the football to one of those guys outside. And if they got more people outside covering those wide receivers, then you hand the ball off to your big running back inside, and you let your offensive line get a hat on a hat and run things. We're going to be a much better offense this year without question. We're going to have some big play ability. The flip side of that is it's going to be interesting to me to see how, and like I said, I've been in that position too on offenses at Tennessee. Doesn't look like this is going to be a real good short yardage offense simply because of the power factor, but maybe it will be. But overall, you're going to see an offense I think is going to be able to move the football, and we're going to get a lot of big plays out of this team. That's one reason why I think Worley will probably be your starting quarterback. You want to get the ball to the person or get the ball into the area or get a pass thrown or a run check to by the defense you're going to see. I don't think there's any question that we're going to see this offense be even faster paced than last year. Every practice I was at this spring, over and over and over and over, it was play faster, play faster, play faster, play faster. We didn't see that in the spring game yesterday, but a lot of that was because of the numbers. You know, they didn't have the numbers to do that. I think this is going to be an even faster team. And when I say faster, they're going to play faster. They're going to put a lot of pressure on that defense. You're going to see them run a lot of plays. So I really believe after watching spring, you know, going to be some mistakes made. But from a talent aspect, we're as close to some of the top wide receiving cores that Tennessee has had. We're pretty darn close to there right now. And again, if some of these guys have been, you know, like I mentioned, if a Josh Smith, if a Kroom can step in there. Now, we're not going to get any help from wide receivers coming in. Don't believe. I think Vic Wharton's coming in. By the way, if you've been watching and reading about the track season here in Middle Tennessee, Vic Wharton is doing what a lot of people thought he would. He's a speedster. It's going to be interesting to see where they play him. I think he could be a very quality defensive back. If I'm the secondary coach at the University of Tennessee, and I was for a while, I'd want Vic Wharton on my side of the ball. He is a playmaker, a heady guy that knows where that ball is. He can run. He's tough. I think he's going to be a big player up there. A lot of good safeties coming in. Let's just hit that real quickly. All right, the safety position, the defensive secondary. Let me start this over again. Offensive line, defensive secondary are the areas of spring that really needed some help. Offensive line is not going to get any. Cornerback's not going to get any in all likelihood unless Evan Berry can be one of those. But the safety position, we got four or five guys coming in there that I think are going to be excellent, excellent football players. I'll be very surprised if next fall it's not Randolph at one safety, backed up by a freshman and a true freshman and a true freshman being the starter and backup at the other safety. I believe that's what we're going to see. Probably going to be a safety backing up that nickelback position too. Very talented. The strength of this recruiting class was the secondary in numbers and athletic ability, and of course the wide receiver. So those two areas. So if you look at this team, and again in future shows we're going to try to take down and break down a little bit more of them. But if you take a look at where spring is, I think about as you're never comfortable in a spring as a head football coach. But if I'm a coordinator on both sides of the ball, I feel pretty darn good coming out of spring on where we are right now. All right. If Dar can come through at punter, I think there's still some questions at kicker. If Dar can come through at punter, had a good spring, maybe the medley youngster is going to come in and be that kicker. I don't know. We're going to be so much better than last year that it's not even going to be close. I think this is going to be a completely different-looking team, both offensively and defensively. One that is truly getting back to being built around speed and talent and athletic ability. Again, going to be very young. No Easter harp on that. We know that's going to be there, but I think this team is going to be significantly better in those areas. So that's kind of where the program is right now. That's kind of some of the position breakdown. The early enrollees deal, depending on, and I had someone ask me, text me about Nico Kramer. My guess is that Nico Kramer will probably redshirt, and here's why. And listen, I watched him two practices up there. He is a talented player, but he's kind of in between right now. They moved him to linebacker. I think he's going to end up as being a linebacker or a defensive end. He certainly could help next year on the special teams, but as I mentioned, they're going to have to get about 10 of those guys out of that freshman class. Nico Kramer, unless there's some major injuries, I think will probably redshirt, but he has an opportunity to be a big-time player. I thought he was a pretty good athlete coming in. After watching him, he's an even better athlete than I thought he was, so that's kind of an answer to him. But as I mentioned, those early enrollees, there's going to be at least 10 of those guys are going to be in the two deep now, maybe more. I think, as I mentioned last week, probably five of those young men are going to start. One of the guy I wanted just to mention real quickly, the Blair youngster, the offensive tackle. I know there's been some concern, well, how come he's not starting? How could Jacob Gilliam be in front of him? Well, he just simply hasn't matured and come along quite as quickly as they would like. But let me say this. You look at his athletic ability, you look at his size. Coming out of junior college, it's always tough. In a junior college, you never get enough to eat, and you never get strong enough out there because they just don't have the facilities nor the money to spend on that. This kid may end up redshirting. I don't know. I'll be very surprised, though, if he's not a really outstanding football player at Tennessee at some point, defense at offensive tackle. Could be next year. I don't know. You're going to see him develop a little bit more. All right, those 18 players that Coach Jones talked about, that new class coming in, going to get in June. So the goal is to get them as ready to play as you can. You got June, you got July, you got August, and then, of course, we kick it off. And by the way, that Utah State game, 7 Eastern, 6 Central. So that's kind of where we are. Little update, a little overview of spring practice. Again, we'll be discussing more in future weeks. Next week's show will be a tape show on Easter. We'll be back with Bill Justice the week after that, and then we got a lot to talk about on Big Orange Sunday. Thanks so much for being part of the show today. Franklin American Mortgage brings you Big Orange Sunday each and every Sunday. Again, we're on at 8 Central and 9 Eastern. By the way, Chalk Talk still available. Got another one coming out this week. Doug at DMTeamSports.com. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next week on Big Orange Sunday.